John Brown, Abolitionist. It's a new biography of the man who in 1859 attacked the federal arsenal at Harper's Ferry in what was then Virginia. The subtitle of the book, which was written by David Reynolds, says of John Brown, "The man who killed slavery, sparked the Civil War, and ceded civil rights." David Reynolds is Distinguished Professor of American Studies at the City University of New York, and he joins us from our studio in New York. Welcome, Mr. Reynolds.
Thank you very much, Linda. Nice to be here.
You give John Brown powerful credit in this book for starting the nation down a path it might not otherwise have taken. And in the process, you redefine John Brown, despite those daguerreotypes of a frightening-looking old man with wild hair and eyes. You insist that whatever else he was not mad.
He stood for equal rights, people of all races. He triggered the Civil War through his violent actions. He was instinctively not a violent man, but he took these violent actions because slavery seemed to be cemented in place by law, by custom, and by ideology.
Now, what exactly did John Brown want to achieve by the attacks on slaveholders in Kansas, the attack on Harper's Ferry? What was he trying to do?
He brought Southern tactics to the Northern side, as more than one journalist said in that day. He was the first abolitionist to come out and say, now, wait a second, let's pay back the South for centuries of cruelty against African Americans. Let's lash out against the South, who has committed so many crimes, not only against blacks, but against visiting abolitionists in the South.
But you go beyond that in the book, and you make the point that unlike the most famous abolitionists of his time, that Brown really was convinced that violence was the only way to end slavery, and that it was somehow would be the way to break through.
Lincoln, before the war, said, well, I think it'll take 100 years for slavery to disappear. It'll take about a century. John Brown was more realistic than this. He realized that in the South, slavery was becoming increasingly entrenched. It was not only economically, but ideologically, because it was seen as a very Christian, good, holy thing, a wonderful thing. And in the North,
Because the slaveholders were in some way setting these black savages on some kind of Christian path.
Not only that, some of them believed that we should take over Africa and enslave the millions and millions of people in Africa to expose them to the so-called blessings of Christian civilization. So it was more than just, this is a bad thing that we have to keep going. This is a very, very noble institution. And in the North, meanwhile, it was becoming increasingly anti-slavery, but people in the North didn't know exactly how to dislodge slavery. John Brown wanted to dislodge slavery by creating a terror campaign throughout the South, spreading what he today would be called terrorist cells throughout the mountains that reached very, very deep into the South, and using these terrorist groups to raid the plantations and free the slaves and create an atmosphere of fear that then would force the compromise, the South to compromise eventually. But what happened, of course, is that he stalled too long at Harper's Ferry. He was trapped and he was hanged for treason.
Abolition, the freeing of the slaves. This was the thing that drove John Brown to do what he did. But how did he get to be an abolitionist? Where did those beliefs come from?
His family was very religious. What happened is that after the separation of the church and state during the time of the Constitution, American religion went in many creative directions, and one direction it went into was into John Brown's household, a feeling of equality of people of different ethnicities. He befriended Native Americans when he was growing up in the wilderness, and at age 12, he saw a young black boy whom he considered his equal being beaten, a slave boy actually, being beaten with a shovel and driven outdoors, and he said, I swear eternal war against slavery.
In your book, you offer a fascinating account of John Brown in action, not just a madman wielding a broadsword on the plains of Kansas, although you do talk about that, but a knowledgeable and religious family man, a person who met and talked with Emerson and Thoreau, with Frederick Douglass and Harriet Tubman, and was admired by them.
Emerson came out and said, he will make the gallows as glorious as the cross. And everybody in his day suddenly said, gallows glorious as the cross? And this is Ralph Waldo Emerson saying this? And obviously, that single statement shot like a ricocheting bullet around American culture, polarizing the nation and dividing it. The South was totally outraged. Jesus Christ, this guy's a murderer. And suddenly the North said, maybe there's something to this guy. And the reason that Emerson said that, not only because of the fact that John Brown gave up his life for nearly 4 million enslaved blacks, but also because he was very eloquent. Thoreau said John Brown did not win with his rifles whatsoever, or his violence had nothing to do with it. It was his words. His words defined standard English. If he were in English 101 today, he'd flunk it because every other word was non-grammatical, misspelled. But Henry David Thoreau said John Brown defines standard English because of the forcefulness of the way he expresses himself.
After John Brown attacked Harper's Ferry, he was arrested, and then after a period of time was hanged. And in between, he talked to a great many people. He was interviewed. A lot of the things he said were then published, widely published. I wonder if you could read a portion of the book which quotes some of the things that Brown said during that period between his capture and his execution. Page 331.
Yeah, the very day that he was captured, and mind you, he hadn't slept for 2.5 days. He was very badly injured, had been stabbed in the stomach and 6 times around the head. He was lying there. They assumed he was dying, actually. And he was surrounded by scores of pro-slavery people who were throwing questions at him. But for between 2 or 3 hours, he just answered their questions very calmly. And an officer tried to trap Brown with the racist comment, "Suppose you had every nigger in the United States, what would you do?" This was the easiest question of all. "I would set them free," said John Brown. "But that would sacrifice the life of every man in this community," said the officer. Brown had lived with blacks too long to accept this canard. "I do not think so," he stated. A reporter for the New York Herald asked Brown if he had anything more to say. Brown said no, only that he felt perfectly justified in what he had done since he was here, quote, "not to act the part of an incendiary or a ruffian, but on the contrary, to aid those suffering great wrong." And with prophetic brilliance, he declared, quote, "I wish to say furthermore that you had better, all of you people of the South, prepare yourselves for a settlement of this question. You may dispose of me very easily. I am nearly disposed of now, but this question is still to be settled. The Negro question, I mean. The end of that is not yet."
David Reynolds, his biography is called John Brown, Abolitionist. Professor Reynolds joined us from our studio in New York City. David Reynolds, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, Linda.
You can read an excerpt from David Reynolds' new book at our website, nbr.org.